Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Save 10% during the Beat the Heat sales event. Visit eastcoastmetalroofing.com for details.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons on a Monday afternoon at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales Event. You got to hurry for that. You also got to hurry because it's time for Dan Ball's favorite segment, the three-point stance.
319!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
Three. And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
I maintain that my favorite segment is always the Quiz with Stiz. Might be Andy's more likely, though.
Who I do like more likely.
Yeah, yeah, it's grown on me a little bit.
I heard there's going to be a Fitzy 5 today at 5:30.
Yeah, but no one likes it. I mean, what?
Boy. Okay. Today's three-point stance. That's what it's time for here on WEEI Afternoons. Just awkward enough. And it's brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you're standing between Hart and Fitzy right now, you got to get Glassman, and you can call all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Each host will get 60 seconds to present their opening stance, after which we will open up for discussion on each. I've pulled a move that I did not ask permission for, but I'm doing it anyways.
Whoa.
I've called in a celebrity for my three-point stance here today.
Tom Hanks?
Yes, as a matter of fact, with assistance from Joe Kelly. Our order today is Andy Hart and then Nick Fitzy Stevens, and then from WEEI, WEEI.com, and Jones and Keefe. My man, Justin Turpin.
Surprise.
Wow.
What's up, Turp?
What's up, guys?
Turp. How are we doing? It's a Turp chirp. I love it.
Yes, that's what it is.
How you doing, man?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, what's up? Do you feel like, are you in your element right now with the NBA free agency coming up, the trades happening, or do you feel a little lost because the Celtics haven't played meaningful basketball in over a month?
It feels crazy that it's already been like 50 days since they played a meaningful basketball game.
That's unbelievable.
Like, it feels like it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited to get some action in this offseason here.
Excuse me?
I'm going to need some.
Aren't we all?
I'm going to need some core. Yeah, please.
Amen.
Once you're 50, forget it. I'm going to need some cornet talk.
I love it. I'm all for cornet talk. That's the big topic right now.
All right, let's move on.
Okay. That is our order. Andy Hart, since you are so impatient, are you ready?
I am indeed.
All right, your 60 seconds, Stiz, begin right now.
So you were very excited about the pitching matchup tonight.
I was.
And Bradford was too. Did you hear him? Oh, first round pick from a year ago on the mound against Crochet. You know what? There's a big show tonight here at Fenway Park, but to me, it's in the dugouts. Tito Francona leading the Cincinnati Reds into town against Alex Cora. I think the two greatest Red Sox managers in the history of the organization, because they are modern managers. So I tend to give them the benefit of the doubt. I know they're, you told me, Dan Ball, second and third on the wins list for the team. But to me, managing baseball in Boston in the year 2000 and beyond is a massive challenge. Think about sort of the history that's gone through that. You're not just chasing championships. You're not just battling the Yankees. You have general managers that are leaving the organizations in gorilla suits. You just have beer and chicken and media and the Boston Globe writing schmear pieces and hit pieces and all these things. It is a horrific job, honestly. You're going to age exponentially in that job. We saw it happen to Tito. He got worn down. He got run out of town. We are now, I think, in the wearing down of Cora, maybe run him out of town soon phase of things. But tonight, two very likable, affable, smart baseball men will be going head-to-head at Fenway Park. The two greatest managers in the history of this organization. Tito Francona, woo, won the World Series. Alex Cora, woo, won the World Series.
Woo. All right. The Homer Honk speaks for itself. They earned it. All right, we'll discuss. We'll get into that in just a moment.
Oh, he's such a homer. He's such a
cynical,
homer.
Negative bum.
Whoa, I mean, whoa, boy.
There is a manager with like 400 more wins than either one of them. But
yeah, you looked it up.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, but you didn't know him until you looked it up.
I mean, I know the name. I know his number's retired. I did not know how much better he was than everybody.
What about Morgan Magic? What about Johnny Mack? What about Dick
Morgan Williams? Magic was fun. That's fun. McNamara was fun. Yeah, that one strike away was great.
Was it his fault that Calvin Charlie spit the bit that Bob Stanley threw that ball away? Actually, it was his fault. Should have had Dave Stapleton at first.
He did play a role in that. So
he did.
I'm just telling you, you got a couple guys with rings and that I think did great jobs under very difficult circumstances in the pack tonight.
All right. We'll put our pin in that because Fitzy, your time is now. Are you ready?
Oh, why not?
All right. Well, your 60 seconds and that positive attitude continue right now.
All right. Well, time to talk a little football on this afternoon program. Bucky Brooks at NFL.com, one of their finest writers, put up a piece today about some dark horse candidates for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and more in the 2025 NFL calendar. Some fun names out there like Baker Mayfield, Josh Jacobs, Will Anderson on Houston, and R.J. Harvey, the running back in Denver, to which I would like to say, yes, all of those are valid candidates possibly for many awards in the upcoming NFL season. However, Patriots fans, do not feel excluded. Do not feel left out because, in my estimation this year, and I don't think this is Hot Take Central population me, you do have people like Christian Gonzalez, who very well could find himself in the Defensive Player of the Year contention. You have people like Christian Barmore, who I believe could very well be a comeback player of the year candidate. And if he is able to keep up with the positive upward trajectory that he's been on since he was drafted in the second round, 38th overall in the 2025 draft, you could have people like my guy, Travion Henderson, entering the Offensive Rookie of the Year chat as well. So Pats fans, while everyone likes to make noise about everyone else and their fancy players, take heart. You may have a couple of keepers there yourself. I got out half a second early.
That's what she said.
Okay.
I don't even know what that means, and why did she say it?
I have thoughts.
Really?
I do.
Perfect.
But
all
I
right.
can save them until the Terp Man chirps in.
Well, it's an honor to have you for your first three
My
points,
pleasure.
Chance. So
nervous?
No, I'm ready
Turpin
to go.
Style.
I've never done one of these, so I am worried about messing up the timing, though.
Yeah.
Oh, don't. Ted sometimes does 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, and sometimes, if we're being honest, Stiz forgets to start the clock and you don't actually have a buzzer.
Yeah, once it gets like, once that like beeping gets louder and
louder.
And then
sometimes Andy yells at the clock, and the funny thing is time has no feelings.
Yeah.
Just, it is
true.
What it is.
It's very true.
All right, Terp, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Stiz, his 60 seconds begin right now.
Go.
Does it come now?
Go!
Oh, all right. So, as we know, it's
Oh, sorry, Turp.
I thought I was going to
Thank you very much.
Like,
there's some turtle wax and rice-a-roni for you at the door. All right, let's restart. Right, your time begins now.
Yeah. All right, as we know, it's already been a very busy offseason for the Celtics, parting ways with two members of a starting lineup from a championship team, and it's only going to get busier. That's why we're in here today. That's why Dan brought me in. NBA free agency begins tonight, so the job for Brad Stevens and the new ownership group led by Bill Chisholm is only going to get harder. And a big name that we've seen floating around as a potential trade candidate is Sam Hauser. He's entering the first year of his four-year, $45 million extension, making a very manageable $10 million for the first 2 years before it jumps to $11 and $12 million. So he's been a common trade target, and I don't think that should be the case for the Celtics. When you look at what he's been able to do for this team, obviously developing from Maine, that's a cool story, but it has nothing to do with it. He was a plus 10 net rating this year, was fourth among reserves that played at least 60 games. If you're looking at this as the gap year it was with Tatum, the lineups with Jason Tatum and Sam Hauser were plus 12.2 net rating, one of the best on the team. He's never shot below 40% in the NBA, high school, or college. He's an unbelievable floor spacer. It's tough to find that consistency at that value. So I think there are other ways. The Celtics obviously have more moves to get to. That threw me off there. Need $4.5 million under. So Anthony Simons, George Niang, those are ones that you can move off. I would keep Sam Hauser from the Boston Celtics.
All right. Well done, timing.
Yeah, you do.
You had a couple seconds, but that's okay.
Yeah, that was well
started,
done.
Like, I mean, for a first 3-point stance, pretty impressive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
And
Hauser.
So on the table, it is an all-time managerial matchup with respect to Red Sox fans, Cora and Tito tonight. Some dark horse honors for us for Patriots players from NFL.com. And then the idea of Sam Hauser. So I want to start there as Justin Turpin is our guest here on this segment. You mentioned the numbers with Jason Tatum and Sam Hauser and how they play together when they're together in the lineup. So how does a Sam Hauser role change, grow, develop in a Tatum-less offense, in your estimation?
I think for the most part, it stays the same. I mean, it's going to be a little bit different for everybody in the offense. They're going to play faster, and Brad Stevens made that clear after the draft in his draft night presser, and I think mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown at the helm of the offense is automatically going to make them a faster team, so he's going to have to adjust to that, but he can play in transition, and he can be what happened.
He said, I'm nodding approval.
You okay, say okay, faster, yeah, yeah. He's nodding approval. Right. I doubt that means better.
Yeah.
Definitely faster.
But this is, everyone's looking at this year as a gap year for Jason Tatum, right? Like, they want to build the roster for when Tatum's back.
Yeah.
You're looking at guys like Niang and, in particular, Anthony Simons, it's going to be tough to extend Simons anyways, making close to $27 million this year, and that extension's probably going to be in the same ballpark.
Ooh.
They just parted ways with Drew Holiday, who was making close to 30. So wouldn't you have rather just kept Drew Holiday if that was the case, if you were just going to cut salary right. and extend him to the same thing? So
a little younger, but
a little bit younger. And I think
he'll score more. I think that I think if they're going to hold on to Simons, though, Terp, it feels like they're going to hold on to him because they're going to need more speed and more offense on the floor. But Simons, basically, it feels like you're posturing that moving on from Simons makes more sense because Hauser is cheaper and very dependable. He's kind of an underrated your type of guy.
And more importantly, he fits great with Jason Tatum. And I think people also forget how good he was during the NBA Finals. Like, he played some of his best games during the NBA Finals, and that can't be overstated. So I think the Celtics should be looking to keep him more than they should be Simons, because it's already going to be tough to extend him, and you got Hauser under contract at a very reasonable number.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think for them is he fits their what they want to do, and he's cost effective, so that really fits overall what they want to do right
now. Does Simons fit what they want to
do? Well, I mean, he shoots threes. He wants to jack up threes. Like, no, I know, that's my point, but he also
already
makes $30 million.
Yeah, you already have a guy that can shoot the three pretty well, and Hauser, do you need another one? And also, you don't even know what you have yet in my guy Shireman.
Also, the thing
not
with,
saying, just saying.
The thing with Simons as well is a defensive backcourt with Peyton Pritchard, who is a decent defender for his size. He's always going to have natural limitations.
Right.
That's just the reality. Mm-hmm. Anthony Simons, I mean, some say he doesn't play a lick of defense.
He doesn't.
So you're going to have...
You know who some would be? His former team, I think.
Correct. So
you're going to have... And anyone that's watched him.
A defensive backcourt of those two for a team that really likes to pride itself defensively. Now, I think Joe Mazzulla could really help him grow in that regard on the defensive side of the ball. I think what he's done, Joe Mazzulla, to the defense has been criminally overlooked. I mean, he finished second, and fourth in defensive rating in the 3 years that he's been here. And it also helps to have more talented players around you. I don't think, even at this current stage, I think people would take this Celtics roster over any roster he played with in Portland, specifically as it pertains to their defenders. So, yeah, you have better defenders around you. It's going to make you a better defender also.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm fine with keeping Hauser. I think long-term cost effectiveness, they're still going to jack up threes. It's not like they're going dramatically away from that world. Just, I agree with you, and I like your tone. With JB running the show, there's going to be a little different vibe to this team.
Hey, all right,
straight
so,
up said it.
Terp, so we got to get to the bottom of this. So Horford is a top target for the Warriors, apparently, and the Spurs are hot on Kornet. If you lose Horford and Kornet and you have traded away Porzingis, where's the size coming from on this team next year?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, which I would believe that's why a Simons trade would come in the near future. I mean, they have to get moving on this. Obviously, free agency opens tonight. Horford and Kornet are free to go wherever. Now, I think they would wait to see if the Celtics have an offer. They wouldn't just run off and, you know, sign right away, at least see what the Celtics can do. But they have to act quickly because other teams are going to be trying to. So they need to retain at least one of them. And both of them would be the dream for the Celtics. And Brad Stevens said that is their priority the other day. So, yeah, I mean, they need the size. You can't go into the season with just Xavier Tillman and Namish Keita. That cannot happen.
No, you cannot. Who's your preference, Andy, between Kornet and Horford? Who are you prioritizing? Because they're probably going to cost about the same.
I'm okay moving on for both, quite honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Where would the size come from?
That's where the genius, Brad. Everybody tells me he's the
about
biggest
his guy,
genius ever.
Hugo Gonzalez.
Or wait, what about Amari
Williams?
Williams, yeah.
He's a little bit more raw. That's why he was available so late in the draft.
Wait a minute. I heard, what's his name? Mike, who's the guy that did the press conference after day two of the draft?
Mike Zarin.
Yeah. And he's like, he's the best passer in college basketball. He's the best this. He's the best that. And I'm thinking, boy, this guy should have gone higher in the draft if he's as good as the 50s.
I know.
Which also could play into them playing faster. You have a passing big. And, you know, I will give you a stat Amari Williams
love
is pretty interesting.
Who doesn't
115 assists last year is tied for the Kentucky League most ever by a 7-footer at Kentucky.
Come on now.
This style of basketball where you have a big leading your team in assists, I'm in on.
You know who's also a great
passer? Jaylen Brown throwing the ball all over the court.
No, you know what that tells me? Outlet passes, he rebounds, he gets it out, and we get a dunk 3 steps later for JB 4-2.
Celtics only trail by 19 at the half.
That's a problem, and that's a possibility. I acknowledge that possibility. They could be more enjoyable to watch loose.
In defeat, yes.
Luke Kornet, also an excellent passer, specifically out of the short roll. So
you've got me a little bit excited about Celtics basketball.
I think I'm going to let Horford go. I think I'm going to trade Simons. I'm going to keep Kornet, and then I'm going to use the rest of that money on... Is there a discount guard or like a small wing that we could add to the mix for that for the money that's left?
This will still be a destination, I think. Like, it's a gap year, and they're still going to be pretty good in this gap year. Like, they're going to make the playoffs. It's hard to make the it's hard to miss the postseason in the NBA. So many teams make it, and this team still has. I mean, look at, like, in the last 2 years, all their starting five, granted three of them will be gone, were considered all-stars, right? Like, Derek on the fringe, Jaylen Brown and Derek White. Right, those guys are all stepping up a notch now. They're all taking a step forward. Like, as much as people are talking about Jaylen as the one, what does Derek White look like as a two? Like,
I'm concerned.
I think he's totally capable of it.
I see. Fan of his.
I think one of the hardest things to do in any sport is go to, you call on me occasionally to have a big game, and then, oh, you call on me every night to have a big game? That is a big leap.
There's going
to
be a learning curve.
He has to score 20 points a game.
Probably.
A number two receiver who always works well because the number one receiver gets most of the top cornerback. Now, all of a sudden, as a two receiver, I have to deal with the top corner and all those.
And I like Derek White. I do think he's become a little bit overrated. That was one of my three-point stances last week when we were talking about Brown and White in the same conversation of these crazy packages. Yeah. I'm like, those two guys aren't the same. Why are we suddenly like lumping them together like you have two marquee players up for trade?
Another one I want to look at is Peyton Pritchard. Like, every time that guy's been given an extended opportunity, he's made the most of it.
He does. Every he maximizes his ops.
As long as he doesn't play the match.
We'll see if he's in the starting lineup next year. Obviously, there's still more moves to come. I think if Simons does stay, which I would really put it like a 5 to 10% chance, I really do not see
him. Oh, that low?
Yeah, I do not see him.
You think he's on the way out?
He's on the way out.
Yeah, they haven't even finalized his deal yet, right?
Yeah, right. And again, well, that's because they have to wait until...
What, new league year?
July 6th. Oh. Yeah, so they have to wait another week till it could be final. But
who do you think, this is fun having someone in to talk a little extra hoops with. Who do you think has improved themselves the most thus far?
Thus far?
Yeah.
Around the league?
Yeah.
Or in the East? Houston. Definitely.
See, Andy hates the KD trade.
That's just because I hate KD. I think KD makes every team he's on work.
They needed a big voice in that room, somebody that's been there and done that.
Yeah, Ime.
A young team. Ime, and he's doing a great job.
I think Ime and KD are going to butt heads.
I think they're going to work well together.
I mean, they already worked well together. Well,
the under.
Really well, but KD played well when they were in Brooklyn together.
And what about in the East? The Magic were already scrappy enough. Yeah. And now adding Bane, like
three Rex.
Now they, yeah.
I love that. I love the Desmond Bane trade. Yeah. I think that team is already going to make noise. They're a young team, and they were banged up last year. I maintain when the Celtics were playing them in the playoffs last year, that had they not been riddled by injuries, they would have finished way better than what their regular season record shown. So I think they were better than what they might have shown on the surface last year.
For sure.
All right, Terp, thanks for stopping by for 3-point stance. Next time, remember, you don't need to freak out when you hear that. As Fitzy said, Ted just plows right through the buzzer sometimes. So just ignore the buzzer.
It is intimidating, though. It takes a little while to get used to it.
Absolutely.
Like, if Ted doesn't like the outcome of the game, he used to stay on the field until he got
We also learned don't ever go on Jeopardy, because apparently if you made it to Final Jeopardy, you would freak the F out and not have an answer, and you'd lose everything that you wager.
When the people, I watched that Family Feud, like the end. When
you would freak out.
No, I'd be, I would be.
Or at least you need to practice more. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we talked a little Celtics basketball with Terp. We're going to talk a little Bruins. Not only did they make a pick in the top 10 of the draft on Friday night, they got my guy, James Hagans, out of BC, staying close to his college home, not going to his home with the Islanders. We also need to talk about NHL free agency trades, lots of reports and rumors and everything that could involve Pasta and Marchand and Cummings and goings. A little Bruins talk up next with Puckhead Dan Ball, who'll also have What's Trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Red Sox fell to the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday afternoon at Fenway Park. The final score was 5-3. Walker Buehler gave up 4 earned runs over 4 innings. His ERA in June is currently sitting at 11.07. Boston welcomes the Cincinnati Reds to Fenway Park for a 3-game series as their homestand continues. First pitch of Game 1 is set for 7:10. Garrett Crochet will start opposite rookie Chase Burns. Here's your lineup for tonight. Jaron Duran leads off in left. Then it's Roman Anthony, your DH. Abraham Toro is at first. Carlos Narvaez is your catcher. Willy Abreu out and right with Trevor Story at short. Marcelo Meyer is back at third base. He was activated from the bereavement list earlier today with David Hamilton at second and Seydon Rafaela out in center field batting ninth. Nick Sogard was also sent back down to AAA Worcester in the corresponding move for Meyer being activated. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Joe Weil is tonight at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. The Bruins made a number of signings over the last 24 hours. Among those, Murat Husnadinov, a 2-year extension worth $925,000 per year. You also have Michael Callahan, 1-year two-way contract, $775 per. Henry Jokiharju, 3 years at $3 million per. Johnny Beecher, a 1-year extension. Michael DiPietro, the goaltender, gets 2 years. And finally, and probably most importantly, Morgan Geekie signs a 6-year contract extension worth $5.5 million per year. NHL free agency opens up tomorrow at noon. Meanwhile, NBA free agency officially opens tonight at 6 p.m. At that time, teams can start negotiating with all free agents, but contracts cannot officially be signed until July the 6th. Luke Kornet, Al Horford headline, the Celtics pending free agents. And a blockbuster trade from the NFL earlier today, the Dolphins have traded 3-time All-Pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey and tight end Jonnu Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange for 3-time All-Pro safety Minkah Fitzpatrick and a draft pick swap. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Making the selection for the Boston Bruins, we have a special guest, an award-winning comedian, actor, golfer, and lifelong Bruins fan.
My name is Bobby Gilmore. How are you? Glad to be part of the 2025 NHL Draft. The Boston Bruins select from Boston College.
That was indeed the voice of Happy Gilmore himself there, Adam Sandler, announcing the Bruins' number 7 overall pick on Friday night. James Hagans, as he said, Boston College star, who, as of about 6 months ago, some believed might be the number 1 pick in the draft. There was some hope that he would stay on Long Island, go to the hometown team there, the Islanders, but he fell. And Fitzy, you said this. I said this to Dan Ball earlier. You said it off air. This has a little bit of that Marcelo Meyer thing. I mean, Meyer thing. Wow, he's here and we still screw his name up. Yep. Marcelo Meyer, when he fell, could have been the number 1 overall pick. You get him at 4, and now he's in the big leagues. We'll see where that goes.
Changes the entire draft plan, though, because you never expected a talent like that that could go first overall to be available to you. So while the Islanders were, and there was that video that went viral on Friday night, we're planning a homecoming party. They had the arena was packed. They were so excited for the prodigal son to return. The Bruins stepped in and literally stepped in it and found money on the bottom of it. And they ended up, you know, bringing the kid in from BC, spoiling the Long Island homecoming. This was a coup for the Bruins. There's actually something positive surrounding the Boston Bruins for a change.
So I'm a big believer in all these drafts when somebody is legitimately potentially a number 1 overall pick and he starts to fall. At some point, the value is just too good. I think that's there. Mm-hmm. Now, there are questions. He's undersized. He's not the typical center size. He's, you know, closer to Andy Hart size than he is the typical center size. Very productive. At the national level, was almost a 2 points per game kind of guy. At the BC level, he was a point per game kind of guy. We know the Bruins could use some help at center, but my guy Dan Ball actually posed something coming into the show that I want to give him a second to articulate on. You don't necessarily believe that James Hagans is going to be a center for the Boston Bruins.
I'm not convinced. The size is a part of that. He hasn't been great just from, you know, face-off metrics in college. I think he's an extremely talented player. He's one of the better playmakers, probably the best playmaker in the draft because of the way that he plays the game. Like he,
like it.
I have never seen a kid at his age keep his eyes up and not look down at the puck while he's stick handling at a level that I've seen from James Higgins.
Okay.
He kind of became famous within hockey circles when he first got to Boston College for that skill. So that's why I don't really worry a lot about his size. I think his ability to see the ice, to avoid defenders, and to be able to move the puck is going to be something that far supersedes whatever he's giving up from a size perspective. He hasn't been great as a center in terms of winning faceoffs, you know, shorthanded, things that you need from guys in the Bergeron or Barkov ilk. So I think at very worst, he profiles out as a top six left winger. I think he is the perfect playmaker to pair with a guy like David Pastrnak, who's a natural scorer. And I think at seventh overall, in a draft where there was a lot of good talent, but no slam dunk, overly elite kind of talent, I think even at worst, if he ends up being a winger and not a number one center, you still love the player because he's going to be fantastic.
So he's 5'11", a buck 80. Marchand's 5'9", a buck 80.
Right.
So I Marchand ain't no center.
Right. Exactly. No. Yeah, exactly.
But Marchand was, like, this guy has played center his whole life.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Like, I like to see guys at least try to continue to defy the odds. Oh, you got to be a prototype. You got to be this to play a certain position. I'd like to see him try personally.
Yeah.
But the first thing I think you need to bring us up to speed on, what is the realistic or potential timeline for you draft a guy 1 year at Boston College, you draft him with a seventh overall pick. What's the earliest and then what's the most realistic timeline to say, oh, he's actually on the ice with somebody named Pastrnak?
I mean, I think realistic, I think he goes back to school and spends another year at Boston College.
Okay.
And then I think he signs and he should be on your opening night roster in 26, 27.
So delayed gratification by a year.
Yes. And I think for a guy his size and the fact that now apparently Boston College is just the pipeline for the Bruins, I don't mind another year. I don't mind a year of development for a guy in a year where I think we all recognize that the Bruins probably aren't going to be, they're not competing for a Stanley Cup in 25-26. I think if they manage their assets right, they could have a pretty good chance to compete in a year's time if they do everything right. But it's kind of going to be a lost year. I don't need him to toil down in the minors, go play for a national championship at Boston College and be ready to go in a year's time.
So the rest of the Bruins draft, we don't need to run down. It's not a Phil Perry mock draft, so we don't need to go seven rounds deep.
What are you talking about? You guys don't want to go the whole way through?
But there was, so you get good grades for the most part based on a guy who was once considered a possible number one pick fell to you. Automatically, you're just going to kind of get good grades. That's the way grading works. Yeah. But there were a lot of questionable picks thereafter, some Belichickian picks. I even saw reference to there's a 500 prospect big board that everybody kind of uses, and they drafted a guy that wasn't in the 500 player big board.
Yeah.
Like, this is that classic, who the F is this guy? We're on TV.
What is it that they know that everyone else doesn't know?
Or don't know. They haven't exactly drafted well.
And it wasn't a Mr. Irrelevant either. I think it's the Vashek Blanar.
Yes,
defenseman. Pick number 100 in the fourth round.
Old Vashy.
So pick number 100.
Yeah, there were
a big board goes 500 deep. You took him at least 400 spots too early.
I'm going to mock 400. You out.
That seems a touch preemptive.
That's like 11 rounds too early.
Good Lord.
Somewhere Belichick's like, won't they get on him a little? Somebody should be laughing at them.
That's why I kind of can't believe they actually made the Higgins pick, because that pick at 100 overall is a Don Sweeney pick. Actually making the pick of the best player available, I was terrified that they were going to let him fall and take the kid.
Oh, yeah, that was a Yahoo.
That's just turn on auto draft and keep calm and carry on. But don't you think there would have been like riots outside the Garden if Higgins was available and they passed on him?
Yes, within the, you know,
riots might be strong.
A small
within
riot.
The disappointed
a disturbance, fan base. Maybe
yeah.
A gathering.
Three guys with a burn pit like okay. Stiz.
Yeah.
So they trusted PJ Axelsson, who is a scout out in Sweden right now, played for the Bruins for a while.
Wait, if you play for the Bruins, they often hire you in retirement?
That's correct.
Okay, just double checking.
If you went through the Bruins scouts, you would be, you'd be impressed.
It'd be like a roster in the early 2000s.
Although we can't bitch about both. We do need to be a little consistent. If we bitch about the Red Sox hiring guys who just stare at computer screens, then we should praise the Bruins for hiring guys that are just old school hockey guys.
Yeah, but the Red Sox guys were hired by a former player. But he also stares at a screen.
He doesn't remember that he's a former player. He's lost that. He's lost his baseball way. He does not sound at all
like a former player.
He is a quant. He is a Yale-bred quant. He is no longer a former major leaguer. But proceed. PJ asks.
That is correct.
So he was the one who found this kid in that they took in the fourth round. So will we ever hear from him? I'd be a little surprised. But that was what Scott McLaughlin cited in his article on the day two picks, which was extremely well done. I thought they did a decent job overall. They got an A from ESPN. I saw them lauded for especially the first two picks between Higgins and Will Moore, who's, surprise, surprise, is going to Boston College.
Mm.
Those two
guys, pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Got a lot of talent on that roster.
And
is the better hockey team in Boston in the Heights? 617-779-7977.
Literally just funneling them from Chestnut Hill over to North Station.
Legitimately, all four of Boston College's centers this year should be Bruins property. It should be James Higgins, Moore, Andre Gasso, and then Letourneau, the kid that they drafted in the first round last year who did not score a goal.
And they could use centers.
They could. I liked what they did. The one that intrigues me a little bit, too, is their third-round pick, Cooper Simpson. 49 goals in 31 games for Shakopee High School out in Minnesota, and then 7 goals in 9 games when he then transferred over to the junior level. So very good natural goal scorer. I think that's a skill. And he's also playing with Will Zellers, who they got at the trade deadline this past year. So,
all right, we got to touch on the Brad Marchand thing, though.
Yes.
Brad Marchand. So long ago, you know my whole theory was he goes away and he comes back.
Yeah, I liked it.
Now people are actually talking about it as a possibility. I don't know if it makes any sense anymore, though. I really don't. For where they are as a team, as you kind of tore it down / are reloading, however you want to describe it.
Retooled was reconfiguration. Yeah.
And now he has sort of painted himself into a mercenary, you know, join a good team and I'll help you win a cup kind of guy. I know I'm like extrapolating from one visit, but you bring him back to Boston, all of a sudden it's Brad Marchand's team again. He probably has a C on his sweater, and you're asking him to be a leader, a scorer, a top guy, whereas in Florida you can kind of get in where you fit in. We see that. He has a great finals and he doesn't even win the MVP.
Right.
So how does it make sense for him to come here again? Also, he just went there, scored, and won a cup. He can't be less valuable, and they didn't want to pay him whatever he was asking for when you traded him. So, logically, how do we... I love the story. I want Brad Marchand back just for the story, even if it's like we sign a new deal with the Bruins. They also do weekly interviews with Brad Marchand on the Midday Show with Rich Keefe. That'd be great. But
Not happening.
How does it make any sense for him to come back?
It's a great question.
Dinball's shrugging on the radio.
I wish I knew.
I don't think anyone understands. I think we all had, at this point, and I know we're up against it here in a second, but like I think at this point we had all kind of come to terms with Marchand not returning.
So right.
The fact that there could be rumors.
Reports. Darren Drager. Look for Utah, Boston, and Toronto to be among those with strong interest if he hits the market.
Go to Utah. Stay in Florida. Understood. Go to Utah. Hooray. That's
sweet
great.
New Good logo in jersey.
Yep. Great team
you're in
name.
On them?
Great
on
team mammoth. Name. The Mammoth?
Mammoth.
I just still don't understand why it's Mammoth, not Mammoths. Anyway, Toronto? Disgusting. Like, no.
He just won the cup with
gross.
The Panthers.
I mean,
the hammer to your nail in recent hockey history.
But if I'm the Leafs, I'm trying to move heaven and earth and every hockey rink in between to bring Brad Marchand up to Toronto because he seems to be the secret sauce that I would think.
Just sign 1 year deals and go to like Bruins rivals.
Why not?
Sign with Bruins rivals and crush the fan base year after year after year.
Disgusting.
I'll give this quick. The Bruins do need goal scoring. Marchand on the wings. Marchand is a goal scorer on the wings, and they love their former Bruins. So I think it's natural that they're going to poke around on guys that they already know because they don't have to go out and scout them. But it makes no sense because he doesn't mix in with your current leadership group that you're trying to establish. And he's old. His need to win doesn't match with your timeline for winning. So it makes no sense for either side.
617-779-7937, taking your calls on Celtics, Bruins, whatever it may be. And Dan Ball hates when I do this, but I'm going off his rundown script.
Oh, no.
I'm just going straight to the top of my head. Because I saw reports on social media of Tom Brady and Sidney Sweeney. That's all I'm saying. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons. Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Why are we playing baby making music? Well, because Tom Brady was at Jeff Bezos' wedding in Italy. $50 million affair, I believe I heard.
The security budget was more than the operating budget of 10 radio stations.
And it was on some area where there were like two bridges in, and once they shut them off, no one could get in or get out, and all of this whole thing. And who's who list of guests? Tom Brady, Sidney Sweeney, Oprah, everybody was there. Which is a side note, I always wonder, like, are you really friends with those people? Like, are you just showing off who you could have?
No, you're showing off. I doubt Bezos and Brady are in any group chat.
Yeah, it's very weird. Okay, anyway, but Brady's there among some beautiful, beautiful women. Sidney Sweeney, who we formerly talked about on WEEI Afternoons because she was selling soap made from her bathwater. And Brooks Nader, who I wasn't overly familiar with, but is an SI swimsuit model whose father is involved with the LSU football program.
The hell is she doing there? How does she have a connection to the Bezos?
I don't know, but she's a smoke show. Okay. And
I believe that's the connection.
Yeah. I would invite those types of people too. Like, Oprah, no, you didn't make the cut. Sorry, Brooks Nader, yes, come on in. And my wife would be like, no, she didn't. She's on the Q list.
Why are you inviting these beautiful women from LSU, Andrew?
It's just an interesting benefit. But Tom Brady, all the tabloids say he was dancing with Sidney Sweeney. He was having fun. He was dancing with Brooks Nader.
If you're Tom Brady, why aren't you dancing with any and every available lovely lady in the room?
And they're only like 20 years his younger. So because of his former coach,
it's hardly Belichick.
Age is not an issue.
No.
Literally, age is not an issue because his former coach has made that seem like a far more normal. Plus, 47 divided by 2, 23, add 13. Like, it's in his range, isn't it? Divide by 2 and add 7?
He can only sort of be their dad.
Yeah, but no, it's fine. These are all legal. This led me to something that I think Brian Frazoka wants me to say on air in a major market radio station.
What is this all about?
Sidney Sweeney?
Yeah.
I don't think she's as attractive
even start
as people make
listen,
it.
Listen to this.
Start.
Listen to this.
I'm
no,
just
Andy,
telling you.
Andy off air was like, I told my wife to listen at 3:50.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Well, honey. Stop listening 1 minute later because Brooks Nader, who I'm not familiar with, smoke show
Darth
Tom Brady.
Darth Nader?
My God.
Oh, yeah?
So, Tom Brady is in Italy living the good life.
Funny, because she's much better looking than her dad, Ralph.
No, we're not doing that.
Yep, we are. I just did it.
We're having a fun segment about hot women and Tom Brady. This is supposed
you
to
You don't
want to
talk about libertarian?
Don't drag it down with politics and old white men.
I would love to. Where would you put, like, being a fly on the wall in the Bezos wedding? Like,
okay, I thought you were, like, in the boudoir of Tom Brady and
you're getting
a little creepy there.
Oh no, right now I mean how about that?
Multiple hours into the reception when everyone's nice and sauced up and the real party starts.
What I'm talking about, Stiz. Just like all the lamb chops and like all the little chicken satays have been passed around. I'm sure they were serving walrus carpaccio and other thing, mastodon, anything you couldn't eat anywhere else in the world.
I like that your brain went to the food first.
But super expensive food. Dom Perignon was probably like the well champagne at a Bezos
wedding. Sidney Sweeney standing over here, but Fitz is like, how about that carpaccio?
Oh, man.
And when I go to the open bar, I go, Miller Lite? And they're like, what do you really want?
Where are we? Here? What is the Miller Lite of Italy? What is the Miller Lite of Italy? Peroni?
I really would like a Miller Lite.
You're not going to get one.
Please.
Actually, he probably had like dug up the bones of Augustus Miller and had him brewed.
Should have everything. But do you think this is one of those places because of the security and Bezos and all of that, and you're surrounded by celebrities, just celebrities? Is this a place where they actually open up and just have a good time and the ties are off and they're dancing and they're...
Yeah, you can't get into the island. There's no paparazzi.
That's what I mean.
There's no, like, there's tight security. Nothing. I'm sure, unlike, what was the story, Dan, a few weeks ago where we went into the whole, like, put the phones away? You know,
Steph
bag
Diggs.
Up the phone. Steph Diggs. Yeah, unlike Cardi B, Steph Diggs.
Or
well,
like
thank you, Stanley. Yes, this was probably a, hey, listen, we have staff photographers. We'll share lots of photos afterwards per your approval. However, put the phone in
like the
bag.
Taylor Swift one from the other day when she showed up at Tight End U. And immediately you see 1,000 phones come out recording everything. This is the opposite.
And Sophie Scott.
No phones.
Sophie Scott with the photo.
Yeah,
with her.
I didn't care for that. I'm done with Sophie Scott.
Wait,
move on
what
with
do you
Sophie
mean
Scott.
You didn't care for it?
I don't need Sophie Scott on my timeline with Taylor Swift. I gotta start cleaning out the timelines a little bit. Some of these people that have followed over the years.
Why don't you work your algorithm?
But which would you pick?
Between, so now we're literally playing.
Yeah.
Would you rather?
No, we're playing
Sidney Sweeney or
you're Tom Brady. You know how they say, like, if you're a commissioner for one day, what would you do to the league? If you were Tom Brady for one day, what would you do?
Okay, I'm gonna
or
quote,
who?
I'm gonna quote from Office Space. You know what I figure a guy like me, if I'm Tom Brady, could do? Two chicks at the same time.
You think they're?
I'm very worried about you with what you're saying.
No kidding.
Yeah. No. This is the Tom Brady stuff I want. You know,
I like the fact that he's steering into, you know what, the world owes me one, or I'm going to have fun because I'm Tom effing Brady.
This is, you know, this is not the...
Hi, kids.
What were we criticizing the other... Oh, when he said...
Not relatable.
Bill and I have always had a great relationship.
Yeah,
that's the Tom Brady I don't want.
Right.
But the Tom Brady who shows up at a wedding where there's some of the most beautiful women on the planet and is like, I'm not married and they're at a wedding and I'm at a wedding.
And oh, also, I'm Tom Brady.
Right. Like this
we want
is the
Tampa Bay Parade Tom Brady.
That's
yeah,
what kind it is. Of.
Loosen
yes.
him up a little bit. Yes. Open bar, loosen up. Okay, there's
I heard
women,
Blaine
let's go.
Gabbert was actually there just to watch Tom Brady's back.
This is, I don't think he made the invite.
You don't think
no,
so?
No,
no. No Blaine Gabbert at the point.
What does Tom Brady have to do with Jeff Bezos?
That's the thing. He's Tom Brady. That's it.
Is that just how that works?
I think it's just
Andy,
money.
When you are the richest person on planet Earth, you can collect humans.
Wow.
People want to be there because you know what the gift bag probably was? I'm sure weddings don't normally come with gift bags. Like the takeaway isn't a mug or a trophy or a photo frame. It was probably like a mega yacht.
But if you're Tom Brady, do you guys have that conversation when you go to a wedding? You probably don't yet quite, Dimple. Like, oh, my wife. And over the years, it evolves. And you're like, what's the going rate for a check to write for a wedding these days? And you're like, back in the day, it was probably like $75. And then you're like, has it gone to 100? Has it gone to
175?
Has it gone to 200? What check does Tom Brady write for the gift at a Jeff Bezos wedding?
That's an NGN, no gift necessary.
Yeah, do you even give? What do you give to somebody
who has it all? He probably throws 5-10 G's in a card.
No, you think?
You don't think so? I don't know.
Where was he registered?
Bezos just spent $50 million. Yeah, no, oddly enough, like, wait, shouldn't I be able to create a wish list on your website?
Bezos needs towels? Who knew?
He needs nothing. He runs the website that has everything in the world. And he already also has it. This man paid out his ex-wife $500 million, and he didn't even feel it.
So Tom Brady got invited to Italy, doesn't have to bring a gift, and is dancing with Sidney Sweeney and Brooks Nader?
You're telling me
Tom Brady
Tom
won
Brady
the week?
Doesn't just
I don't want to tease, Stiz, what Friday's going to bring, but remind Andy that he knows who won the week.
All he does is win. Tom Brady, even now, long into retirement, just keeps stacking dubs. Oh, hi, Dan Ball.
I almost took out a light doing that. Sorry. This is from CNN, so it should be reliable enough.
Fake news.
They asked for donations, contributions to charity.
Charities.
In lieu of gifts.
Okay, sense. So you know what you do? Probably, if I'm worse. Tom Brady, no. $25,000 to...
But then what happens when you see Oprah gave $1 million and you're like, boy, do I look
pretty. Oh, S-word.
Like, it's the same thing.
She's
it's
Oprah. That's what
thing.
She does.
You're talking about... Hey, Alex. He doesn't have a wife anymore, so I assume he calls Alex for everything. Alex Guerrero, what do I donate?
Ben, his handler,
okay,
Ben does.
Ben, what do I donate? How do you find that out? Because you don't want to be the cheapskate when you find out somebody else gave 100 times as much.
Wait, hold on one second. Oh, Jeff Bezos and Lauren are opening up. Look at this. Tom Brady donated $50,000 to the TB12 Foundation. How about that?
You know who will ask this? Ted Johnson, when he's here tomorrow at 3 o'clock. But Ted Johnson isn't talking to us today. But he was talking to, Karen Garigian, writing about the New England Patriots and Ted Johnson's favorite quarterback. Or is he? Ted Johnson's comments on Drake May up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.